The next case, I'm going to skip over Maxey, and I'm going to go to the next Supreme Court case, which is also, I think, a very important sort of reminder for practitioners in the state of Texas. It's probably, frankly, more important for borrower's counsel than lender's counsel. And it's actually an oil and gas case, so it's not directly applicable. But I think that the theme here is. And so this was about a farm out agreement. And Carrizo had farmed out the right to drill to Barrow Shaver. And Barrow Shaver tried to drill. They drilled, spent a lot of money. They drilled without success. And the lease was going to expire if a well was not drilled by April 23rd. So they were approached by a company called Raptor Petroleum. I think that's a rather apt name. And they were offered $27 million for their farm out rights. Unfortunately, the farm out agreement provided that the rights under the farm out agreement could not be assigned without express written consent. And this language had actually been negotiated. So the Supreme Court, when they got the case, actually made a point of saying that this language had been negotiated, that it was not in the original deal, that it was put in, taken out. And so ultimately what was settled on by the parties was the language you see on the screen in bold. The other part of the case was that Barrow Shaver contended that despite the fact that what the written writing said, that, well, they were told that it would be okay, not to worry about it, that there was no intention to withhold consent and basically just sign the agreement. It didn't matter what it said. It was, we intend to be reasonable here. And so when Carrizo refused to consent to the farm out agreement, Barrow Shaver sued, and they had three claims. One that was, although the agreement was silent, that there was an implied reasonableness standard. The second one was that industry practice was that an operator would not deny their consent, and that it would therefore industry practice and custom should be used to inform what the parties meant by the consent to sign. And the third one was that it was fraudulent because they had been assured verbally that the consent to sign would not be withheld. The trial court found the provision was unambiguous. But for some reason they submitted it to the jury, and that's really unclear why they did that. And the jury found that the contract had been breached, and they awarded Barrow Shaver the $27 million. The Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court reversed, and they held that it was error to submit the contract to a jury, that the consent provision was unambiguous and should have been construed as a matter of law. The court went on to have quite a long discussion of the fact that in the state of Texas, there is no duty to act in good faith. There is no duty to act reasonably, that parties are free to contract for their own duties and obligations. And the courts are not going to imply a standard that's not inserted in a contract. So I think what this means to all of us who negotiate contracts is that if you intend someone to have some parameters around when or how they can consent to something, the contract has to say it. And this actually echoes last year, J.P. Morgan, Orca Assets case of the Supreme Court said the same thing, that basically you're sophisticated parties, you're negotiating a deal, and you cannot rely on anything that is said orally. It has to be in writing and it has to be in the contract. And we're not going to imply terms that the parties did not see fit to put in the contract. So I think this is a good lesson for practitioners that they need to, no matter what your client says, no matter how many times they tell you that the other side is a great party and you've got a great relationship and you've got a handshake deal and everybody understands what's going on. So it doesn't matter what's in the document. The Supreme Court has told us now 2 years in a row, it does matter. It matters very much. So going on, I spent a lot of time talking about it in the slides, but we have limited time this morning. So I'm going to skip now to the next Supreme Court case, which is actually something I find somewhat contradictory here. And it's Piranha Partners. So compared to the other cases that we've seen, this case, it's not contradictory. It's very true to form for the Supreme Court, but it contradicts the holding yesterday in where they found this agreement to be ambiguous. In this case, they found the agreement to be not ambiguous. And they really went out of their way to find it not to be ambiguous. And it was really, and it was an assignment of an oil and gas royalty.